Here's Pastor Jeff with a question for you to ponder over.
Is your life in balance with him? Has he got your life in balance? Or you kind of go cold, hot, and you get angry and cold, I'm not going to talk to them, you know? I mean, we can act like that out of balance. The Lord wants to bring us into balance as he does all of creation. We are his creation, and he loves us and wants to give us balance. Not too, you know, hot where we're going to hurt people and angry. Not too cold where we'll shut ourselves down. He wants to keep us just on the straight and narrow.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Let me start today's Sound Doctrine by asking you, if you're in the desert, noticed a computer sitting in the sand, would you think it just grew there, or did someone put it there? You know, as silly as that seems, in order to believe in evolution, you have to believe that something as complicated as this world, the universe, and everything in it, just happened by accident. Truth is, God spoke it into existence, and that includes you. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson, starting with day four of creation.
Genesis chapter 1. Boy, you just started out on a good night. Now, if you weren't here last week, we started out with a few of the verses. We actually went to verse 13. So if you missed the in the beginning stuff, I'm going to go over it a little bit tonight, but you need to get the tape and you'll be up with us. But just that father thing, you know, when we were singing about, I have a maker, he's my father. To understand, who is your father? Is it your earthly father? Well, yeah. He brought you forth on this earth, but really, your Father in heaven, there is a relationship that is growing and that is going, man. And so that's so special. He is my Father. And we talked about our roots, the importance of understanding where we came from. Genesis is a book of beginnings. And so we began in the beginning, and we saw the earth and the seven seas created, the heavens, the planets. Tonight, we're going to go into the lights, the birds, the fish, the animals, and man. This is a great night. We're going to see some great creation. Now, so far, he is a God of order. We're going to talk about this a little more. It needs to be understood. What do you mean, a God of order? Well, he created everything after his kind. His kind. And we'll see the variety of his kind. It's incredible. Remember, this is a remaking. This is a recreation of the heavens. And I believe that as he recreates the heavens and the earth, after he's already created the heavens and the earth, you say, Jeff, what are you talking about? Well, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, that's verse 2, isn't it? What happened to his creation? It's without form. It's void. Darkness was on the face of the earth. And something has taken place. And remember, we talked about the gap theory and how it answers a lot of the questions that we have, especially about when did Satan come to this earth? What happened in heaven to cause the world to get without form and void? What really took place? It answers that question for sure. So the gap theory, it answers a lot more questions than the six-day theory that some believe in. So I kind of lean to it because I feel that we're getting more answers with the gap theory. So verse 2, the earth was without form, it was void, it was empty. So the first 3 days, he is recreating and giving it form. And so we looked at it from the land to the sea to the sky, light and the plants came forth. The last 3 days, He's filling it. In other words, the last 3 days is his fullness to that form from lights to man. Both are starting with light, and I like that. Light. In the beginning, and we know that the Gospel of John is so right on, but he talks about in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So verse 9 goes on to say, that was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. So light to those who come to him. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then he goes on to say, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So he, and we're going to in a minute see how the Son was created, but we got to understand that he is the S-O-N. He's not the S-U-N that was created, but he's the S-O-N, isn't he? So he's the Son. Now, a lot of people say, well, hey, it says I'm a child of the light. And if he's light and I'm light, then he's God and I'm God. Uh-oh. What do you mean you're God? Well, I mean, you know, he's light, I'm light. I'm just right with him. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of God in my own heart. Well, wait a minute. We're going to learn that the Son was created, but then there was a lesser thing that was created. See, the Son is greater. We're the lesser. And no, we're not little gods. No, he's God. You know, and anybody that would say that is, it's heresy, number one. And number two, what are you talking about? He's God and you're not. And that's what he's always trying to show us, right? That we don't have everything under control. We do need him in our lives. So we'll learn as we go along here. Now, without him, we are without form. We are empty. We are in darkness. So let's continue on. Verse 14 is where we left off of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, notice, for seasons, for days, and for years. So now this is day 4 of his recreation of the earth. And what's interesting about this is that it says that God said. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of the things that do appear. So God created, and he breathed them into existence. And we're going to see there's two different names for created. There's bara, which is when God creates something out of nothing. And then there is Asa, or Asa, in the Hebrew, actually. This is the Hebrew, so not the Greek, but the Hebrew. And Asa means creating something from something. So we'll follow that along as he begins to recreate his creation that has turned void and dark. So notice it, this, that there's lights here. And in the Hebrew, it's mior. Mior is a light holder. So he's beginning to, there was light in the beginning, and that was his presence. But now these lights are going to take on a form, and he's going to give them kind of a light holder, if you will, as he begins to create the sun. So the earth is cooling. The mist is kind of clearing away. The light was seen. The seasons came when the earth began to stop receiving the heat that it was taking from within its core, and that's how it began, the heat within, became dependent now on this earth holder, this sun that is being created here, a light holder. And the earth's rotation was 360 days a year in the beginning. It's the Babylonian calendar. And God was seeking to give Israel, because they needed time, they needed this sort of a clock, if you will, that God was giving them seasons, so they would understand one day, they would understand when night was, and they would understand 7 days, and so they could have the Sabbath day. And he was just creating this time thing for his children, for Israel. Now, it did change to 365 days, 9 hours and 56 minutes, the rotation of the Earth. Some believe that this is due to the entering in of Venus into our solar system. I don't know. That's what some believe. But there was a change in the calendar, and we know that. So, verse 15, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light," and this word God made here is Asa. So it seems that he's taking from himself what he's already created in the beginning, the heaven and the earth, and the light was there, and he's creating out of what was created already and making the sun. Because this word Asa means to create something from something else. "And he made two great lights, the greater light to rule by day." And what is that? Sun. "The lesser light," notice what Moses is saying here, "the lesser light to rule by night. He made the stars also." So he kind of just, you know, added that. Yeah, he just made the stars, you know. Just flung Betelgeuse out there, you know. It's tremendous. All the galaxies and everything. It's just like, this is an afterthought here. Oh, I'll just make some universes, you know, and just throw it out there. But he's concentrating on two lights that we need to look at for a moment. Number one is the greater light. Why'd Moses say that? Because all tradition, when you look at other people that worship the stars and the sun and the moon, they thought that the moon was the biggest. Because at night, the harvest moon, man, it can get big. And they thought, wow, the moon is the greater light. Now, Moses knew from the very beginning, because God told him, no, the greater light is the sun. But it's many, 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 many miles away. And even though it looks the smallest, it's the greater light. In fact, I heard the sun can fit 6 million moons in it. So the sun's a little bit bigger, right? Just a little bit. And so they really were into moon worship a lot. Did you know that Allah is not the name of God? It's the name of the moon god. See, a lot of people are confused, you know, when it comes to Islam and Christianity. It's not the same. They worship the moon god, Allah. And I just pray that we'll just get this. And we need to help those that are caught up in Islam or whatever they're caught up into to see that there's one true living God and to get away from worshiping their stars and their moons or whatever. Now, in verse 15 and 16, it really ruins the whole Eastern cult thing. In fact, over in Exodus chapter 20, God told them, and this is, let me just read a few verses here. In verses 1 through 6, he tells them in Exodus 20, that I'm the Lord, which brought you out of Egypt and out of the place of bondage. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them and serve them, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And then he goes on to give the commandments. But he says, do not worship these other gods. In fact, over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, just jot it down, in verse 10, Deuteronomy 18, 10. He says, I don't want any of you to be an observer of times. I don't want you to be under an enchanter or a witch, familiar spirits. And he says, all of these are an abomination unto the Lord. So the observer of times are those that study the stars or and also worship the stars. And there was many that did that. In fact, Israel had disobeyed the Lord and got away from the Lord. I found a scripture way back in Zephaniah. You can just jot this down, where it really points out how far they got away from the Lord and what the Lord was going to do because of their backsliding ways. This is in Zephaniah chapter 1, and it starts out in verse 4. He says, I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I'll cut off the remnant of Baal, because they were going after when they dug up Jerusalem, you know what they found? During this period of time, they found a lot of little idols in their homes. They were worshiping these sun gods and the moon gods. They were caught up in idolatry. And he says to them, them that worship the host of heavens, it says, upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and they that swear by Melchem, idol worship, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. God says, judgment is coming upon you because of your backsliding ways, because you went and began to worship these idols. So, verse 17 now, he continues, and God set them in the firmament as he created these lights, and he created a holder for the lights, and of the heaven, notice we're looking towards the heaven to give light upon the earth. God's always been trying to get us to turn our eyes towards him, to set our affection on those things above, to not be in love with the things of this world, to look to him for everything that we need. For where your heart is, you know, really reaching out to, there is your treasure. If your heart is towards something here on the earth, then that's your treasure. And somebody will rip it off, crash into it, or something will happen to it. You can count on it. No, our hearts need to be towards him. We need to get our eyes upon the Lord, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Look to the heavens. Look to the Lord, not to anything on this earth that will, you know, be your strength. Remember, the children of Israel were looking for the arm of Egypt to help them many times. God says, why don't you look to me? I'm the Lord your God. I'm your Father. I'm your Creator. I love you, and I want to bless you. Look to me. So we're talking about looking to heaven. And he says in verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night. And so there's the day and the night. And to divide the light from the darkness. Do you think that God knows what is right and what is wrong? And do you think he makes a difference between the two? Yeah. It's very clear. That's why the Lord says, seek my word. It'll open your eyes. It'll cause you to be children of the light. You're not going to walk in darkness anymore. You're going to go after the light, and you're going to be led by the light, and you're going to be blessed by the light. The warmth. You know how it is, you know, when you get out, you know, especially if you're swimming in a cold pool, or and then you lay down on the hot pavement and in the sun. You know, remember that feeling? And you said, oh, yeah, you know. That's God's love, man. That's his warmth. That's the sun. That's the light. That's the goodness of the Lord. And he just wants to bring us into that warmth and that goodness. And he makes a difference here. So we need to ask, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of the Lord. And he will show you what to do, where to go, and what to say. Because many times we don't know. And God's trying to lead us his way, in the way of righteousness, the way of light. And so we just need to say, God, help me at this time. We're making this decision about a move. We're doing this. We're doing that. God, I want to know your perfect will. We don't want to settle for second best. We want to know right on what is, and we want your light to lead us, and we want to have that peace, and we want you to open and shut doors. He's good at doing that. So notice verse 19, and the evening and the morning were of the fourth day. So the holder, the light holder, it reflects the sunlight. And here's something that's very interesting about these two lights, the moon too, that in verse 18, it talks about that one light will be at night. What's interesting about the earth is that the earth can come in between what? The sun and the moon. And that when the world in our lives can come in between and cause us to not have reflection. You see, the Lord wants us to be reflectors of his love. He wants us to be like him. And so as we worship him, it says we will become like him. We will begin to reflect him to those around us. And that's important. But if the world, now it depends how much the world is getting in your life and comes between you and the sun, the S-O-N, then all of a sudden you could get into a total, what is it called? Eclipse. And you're going to walk in darkness. And you're not going to be a reflection. So the Lord wants us to be moonies, in the good sense of the moonie. And he wants us to shine for him. And he wants us to be a reflection of his love. And so we need to come out from the world and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't go there, because how much of the world is in your life is how much then it's blocking out His sun rays into your life, His Spirit upon your life to cause you to be a blessing to those around you. And the more we seek after Him and His kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. So be careful about the light coming and snuffing out that sunlight from the Lord in your life. So now, what's interesting about the sun is that it is exactly the right distance from the earth to sustain life. If it was a little bit closer, we'd fry. Every single one of us, crispy critters, right now. I mean, I'm not talking about very much, because it's so, the balance is so sensitive. If it was just a few miles away, we'd freeze. This place had become an ice world immediately. Now think about that. Does God got everything in balance or what? Is your life in balance with Him? Has He got your life in balance? Or are you kind of go cold, hot, and you get angry and cold, I'm not going to talk to them, you know? I mean, we can act like that out of balance. The Lord wants to bring us into balance as He does all of creation. We are His creation, and He loves us and wants to give us balance. Not too, you know, hot where we're going to hurt people and angry. Not too cold where we'll shut ourselves down. He wants to keep us just on the straight and narrow.
We're developing our study in Genesis, the Book of Beginnings, here on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson will be right back with more. Well, as we close things out, I would like to mention that these studies in Genesis are available online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can listen to Sound Doctrine podcasts on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google. We'd like to pause at this time and say how thankful we are to the Lord for you, our listeners. You know, we simply couldn't do what we do without the financial support and faithful support of God's people and God's provision. Pastor Jeff is the author of many books, as you probably know, and one of them is Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale. Let me ask you, would you say you're running from God or to God? You know, that's really the question you'll be asked to consider in this book as you journey through Jonah with Pastor Jeff. You'll observe God's mercy and compassion poured out on both Jonah and the Ninevites. You see, God longs to bless each and every one of us, and He also desires that we share His love with those that don't know Him. Jonah would learn that the hard way. Order a copy of Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale, when you call 800-353-7553 or visit us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. The cost is just $5, so you might want to order more than one to give away. Here's Pastor Jeff once again.
So notice verse 20 now. He says, "And God said again, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, the fowl that may fly above." And I think when you got these flying critters, you might as well throw in the mosquitoes and the dragonflies and everything else, because that's when He created them, along with the fowls, everything that flew. So all these flies, why did God create flies? There's a reason. Again, God knows what He's doing. He uses them to bring forth the seed, and they're just used for a lot of things. I can't think of anything right now, especially when I'm in Egypt and they're all over my face. And I realized, no wonder they worship the fly here, you know, and they do. They have these great brass flies you can buy and worship and put incense in them, and they worship the fly over there. I guess it kind of took over their lives or something. I don't know. It's crazy. But all the flying insects and the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Then it says, and God created the great whales. and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. See, after his kind, these are divine limits that God puts on the kinds. You know, I mean, hey, you can have a dog and it'll bring forth other dogs. Now, you can mess around with dogs and breed other dogs with other dogs and get some real pretty looking weird dogs. But you're never going to get a cat. I don't care how long you try. You say, hey, it just takes a matter of time. I'm going to get me one of them cats from these dogs, and I'm trying, you know. Okay, go ahead.
Well, as you can see already, it sure takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. Evolution is far from being scientific, as some would have you believe. We'll pick up from this point next time we're together for Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and online at sounddoctrineradio.org. So, Father,